You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I'm your host, Adam Miller. And as we continue to think about the holiday season and all of the music that comes with this Christmas time, we're thinking about Handel's Messiah, and we're joined by our musical guest for this week, Keith Getty. It's a great honor to have him on the broadcast with us to talk to us a little bit about his musical influences and what's so special about this holiday season when it comes to the songs that we sing. So, Keith, thank you so much for being a part of our Songtime broadcast.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about what the holidays mean for you as a musician, as somebody who has grown up in this kind of faith background. What does it mean for you to come into this holiday season?
Well, it's very exciting. For me, of course, being a musician, I've always loved the carols. I've always loved the carols and the music of Christmas. You know, when you think about Western civilization and you think about democracy or the great paintings in the Louvre or somewhere, you know, I think then of Christianity and the Western Christianity's heritage. And of course, one of the extraordinary heritages we have is that of carols. We have carols going back to medieval times, to the Middle Ages even. And then we have the great carols of the last 200 to 400 years, which are just such extraordinary contributions to Western Christianity and indeed to the world. You know, carols are known throughout each generation. They're known by believers and unbelievers alike. They've influenced everything from Charles Dickens books to retail slogans on Fifth Avenue. So they've permeated every part of life. They have colored every home, even those who don't realize they have. And so it is such a privilege to get to handle these things and enjoy them each year.
Now, you actually perform a lot of songs, and you will be performing them as well during this holiday season. Can you tell us a little bit about how these songs fit within kind of your kind of style of presenting really rich theological hymns and stuff like that?
Well, the show really, we take a lot of our favorite carols, and basically what we do is, I look at the two influences of carols. One is their wider influence in life and art and society. And one is their influence for those of us who are believers who celebrate and worship. And so the first half of the show is a high energy music, dance and singing celebration of carols. It's about 45 minutes long and on played in each of the churches. And then we go to the concert hall series. We bring in guests as well, special guests. And in the second half, the whole thing turns into almost like an old cathedral. And so it turns into a lessons and carol service, as has been tradition in Britain now for 100 years. And so the Christmas story is read, and in between we perform carols, and by the end of the concert we're inviting everyone to gradually join in more and more. Till the end of the evening, it's just a massive carol singing of many of our favorite carols: Hark the Herald and O Come All Ye Faithful and Joy to the World and Angels We Have Heard in High. So it's a wonderful chance to fill these rooms with singing and praise as well.
Now, there's a lot of Irish influence in your music, and is there a difference, at least in the kind of stylistic approach that you have with your background in the Irish influence and Irish Christmas? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. I mean, obviously, the band itself, we've got a piper, we've got three fiddlers, we've got the solo guitarist from the Riverdance show. It's an extraordinary band. And then, of course, we get to celebrate with lots of reels and jigs in the first half. The first half is a lot of singing and dancing, almost like carols being celebrated outside. And then the second half is takes some of our favorite carols. Obviously, a lot of that's got a whole different Irish influence. Once in Royal David City and the Wexford Carol are probably Ireland's two most famous carols, and they're both included in it, as well as many of the carols that we wrote in the first year of our marriage in Ireland.
Tell us a little bit more about the kind of influences that you had growing up, and which of those songs have really stuck with you that every time you come back to this holiday season, those are the things that really resonate with you and take you back to your childhood or fond memories?
Oh, gosh, each one of them in different ways, you know. And there's a wonderful YouTube clip at the minute of the band doing God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, which is really worth checking out. And that's a high energy dance arrangement, and where we combined it with the Star of Munster. And that carol, that's an example of a carol written in the Middle Ages, which, you know, Charles Dickens used in the Christmas Carol. Then also for me, once in Royal David City, we're emulating, if you want to look it up, we're emulating the King's College Cambridge Carol. So I was with the choir boy this year singing once in Royal David City to open the second half, to open the carol service. So So, but each one of them are special. I just was asked to do an article half an hour ago. I just finished an article for one of the national websites, and I finished it. But I couldn't remember about how do I finish this well? How do I finish this well? And then I just quoted one of the verses of "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." So it's wonderful.
A lot of these songs that you sang growing up, is that there a real value to that, to have these kind of embedded in your kind of the liturgy of your faith as music growing up throughout the years?
Well, of course it is, because all of us are a product of the poetry and the words and the intellectual learning of our lives. So it really is a learning happens like a tree, like the rings of a tree going gradually outwards. So the challenge for me as a Christian is to ensure that I'm inputting as many good things as possible. The challenge for me as a father is that I'm filling my daughters' minds and their imaginations and their observations and life experiences with as many things that are holy and rich and deep and beautiful about the Lord. And so the carols do that so well because they're deep and they're rich and they're theological, but they're also utterly beautiful and irresistible. You know, they're just fantastic. They tug the heartstrings like almost nothing else can.
One of the things I think is really valuable about the holiday season is the time that families really come together. And this is a real great time for families to make this an integral part of their family worship. What advice or wisdom do you have for families that are, you know, going to a concert is one thing, but doing that together in the home is something almost completely different. Creates a completely different memory, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I encourage that. And if you haven't done it, I always say break in gently by just playing carols on your through your iPhone on the speakers, you know, or on your if you're old like me and you still have a CD player, put them on the CD player and sing along to that as a start, you know, and just as you get to enjoy that, perhaps you may end up using live instruments as well. But that's the best way to break into it for sure.
Now, I just saw you last month at a conference in Boston, and you were talking a lot about the importance of singing in part, singing collectively, and building a kind of liturgy within the family as well as the church. How important is it that we have these old traditional hymns as a part of our even contemporary worship, but also our gathering together, as opposed to just putting on an album by Mariah Carey? Why is it important that we actually sing along to these songs?
Well, there's two or three different reasons, of course. Number one is that, as you pointed out earlier, we are in some significant part what we sing. The words that we sing become part of our, they go into our, not only our intellect, but our imagination. They go into our memory. They go in, we remember hymn tunes, even with grandparents with Alzheimer's, they remembered hymn lyrics. They affect our prayer life. They affect our emotions. They affect how we think. They affect how we react. And ultimately, they affect how we speak. So they affect who we are at every part of our being. And throughout history, that's why right back to the Old Testament, God's people learn their faith through what they sing. But at the second level, we sing together because it's how we bond as communities, how we bond as families, but how we bond as communities as well. And that's why it's so important that the idea of loving the greatest commandment of loving the Lord your God with all your mind and strength and loving your neighbor as yourself actually encompasses what congregational worship is supposed to be. It's supposed to be all your heart, mind, and strength, the greatest heart, mind, and strength understanding of the God of the universe, then loving those around us so much that we find music that each of us can join in together on, not music that is most radio friendly, not music that is most good for a certain demographic, not music that certain people in leadership think is cool. That's idolatrous, utterly idolatrous. And so we want to find music that we can all share together. And so the carols do that so beautifully. But the third thing as well is that throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, congregational singing was always approached that by something that, although it was what God's people did, that it would always be an active witness. And so for the outsider coming into our services, they see there's something attractive about good music. There's something attractive about people singing, but they also get to sing this gospel. They get to sing about born born to raise the sons of earth and born to give them second birth, and this wonderful good news of the Christmas story.
Now, you obviously travel and sing with your wife, and you have a family. Do they travel with you? Is this something that you make as a part of an adventure for your whole family?
Oh, yeah. In 2 weeks' time, on the 16th of December, my wife and I will have been married 12 and a half years, and we have never, ever had a night apart. So we've done all of life together, and then our girls have been with us pretty much the whole time. So they're all in the bus. They love the bus. So they're in the bus. They got on us last night. They could hardly sleep. I had to lie beside them in their bunks like for about an hour to get them to sleep. It was a nightmare. And they are just so pumped with excitement. So they've just been for breakfast. And we're in the great nation of Texas tonight, and they're very excited to know that the playgroup opens at 9:30, and they're about to hit that and exhaust every inanimate toy that is there.
as somebody who is going through this holiday season with a very busy schedule, and with so much of our culture already demanding so much of our time and attention for the pomp and stance of the kind of consumerism, what do you do to make sure that your family is close together and understanding the significance of Advent and this Christmas season?
Well, I was once told when my music began to become popular and I was having to do a lot of leadership, more leadership and management on the music, someone once said to me, your business is simply the organization of your priorities in life. So what I'm saying to myself as we planned this tour and what we said, Kristen and I had to make several, sacrifices, nothing of substance I don't think is really achieved in life without sacrifice. And so we had some wonderful opportunities in November, but we had to say no. We got to go to play for for presidents. We got some very attractive opportunities, which would have been very helpful for us in some ways. But we in the end had to say no, because for us to be rested for the Christmas tour, we have to be in our own bed every night. So we missed some opportunities there, which would have been great, so that we could be well rested. And then secondly, it's just every day. What I'm trying to work out myself is how do I find that 20 to 30 minutes, even basic for myself? And then how do I make sure that all the people who want to meet us, that we can still find a sort of a 2-3 hour window that we just enjoy, being together. And so just simple things. I think it's just, many people have that challenge in different ways. The Christmas season is busy for many people. And pretty much most people have my sympathies in that period of time.
Well, you're certainly very busy during the holiday season, but it's great to see that you're making that a priority to make your family and to build those memories and to keep at the very core of it the songs of Christmas and the traditions of Christmas as well. What is your fondest memory of your childhood and Christmas?
My fondest memory of my childhood at Christmas, gosh. Well, part of it was food, which is a huge problem. Biggest temptation of Christmas. Part of it was just the warmth and the colors of family being around and the smell. I think and hot fills all the senses, but honestly, part of it is also the music. The first music I ever composed was Christmas music. And it's a unique chance. Who knows in a generation's time if the broader public in our society will still be so warm and welcoming to music that tells the good news of Jesus. So I think for all of us, whether it's using wise use of the iPod and the CD in our home when family are around at Christmas, whether it's carol singing, carol services, or carol concerts, I think we need to use that opportunity to allow music to speak about the great news of the Lord Jesus Christ in a society that is perhaps, and in families that are perhaps more fragmented than even last year and before in our own civilization.
We have been talking with Keith Getty, who with his wife perform some of the richest Christmas music and write some of the richest theological hymns for the church in our contemporary day. It's been a great privilege to have him on in this very busy holiday season where he's performing so many different Christmas programs across the United States. We've been talking with Keith, and thank you so much for being a part of our Christmas programming.
Fantastic. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.